Welcome to Founders Time Podcast, where founders shine. Have you ever thought, I have this idea and I'd love to start a business, I'm just not sure how? Then you're in the right place. Founders Time aimed to inform and empower female vetpreneurs, military, veteran, and military spouses entrepreneurs by sharing actionable steps, tips, and resources to grow your business lean and smart. Everything you would need to start, scale, and succeed. Now, your host, Niurka Castaneda.
And welcome to Founders Time Podcast. Andrea, how you doing? And can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, I'm Andrea O'Brien. I'm a serial entrepreneur like Niurka, and I'm here to talk about entrepreneurship with some of my info on Globetrot Pro, my consulting programs.
So why a serial entrepreneur?
Yeah, so serial entrepreneurship kind of comes in, at least for me, it came in waves. It didn't come with a full plan ahead. And it started while I was in the military. While I was in the military, I was already making moves and changes in my life to open businesses. But the know-how and the information from it, it started early in my life, at least. It doesn't have to start early for everybody. And the reason being is because I had entrepreneur family members, like my grandfather, my uncle in Mexico. And I would see them thriving in different ways because it's a different country. And so I was exposed to entrepreneurship early on. So now it kind of morphed into passions and different things. So I have a Baskin-Robbins franchise location. I have a second franchise, a travel agency, and also a consulting firm, which is Globetrot Pro, where I help other entrepreneurs travel the world more.
And that's, I think that's something that I think all entrepreneurs should do, because it does definitely open your world. There's so many opportunities overseas and so many things that you can pick that you can implement in your business that you just enrich your environment, period. And for me, at least, I know that every time I go into a new travel, it's just a new adventure, a new I meet new people, I get energized, and it just drives me to be surrounded by all that diversity. Something that is a key thing right now that we all need to implement. And it opens your mind to it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, with the travels, which I do over half of the year, I travel all the time. One, your mind, as you're opening up yourself to all these experiences, automatically is in a different mindset. You become open because your mind, you have your mind in your brain and it hasn't quite experienced that. And so I talk a lot about neural pathways and scientific backing. Definitely always focus on gaining information, getting to the root of information, just an information seeker, truth seeking. And in that journey, I've just found on the scientific perspective that your mind just automatically starts building different ways to do things. You're thinking that you're doing it through your actions, or maybe you saw an experience and you went that route. But it's more than that. If you're really open to it, your mind starts building different ways to execute on your action. And so, for example, even though I do talk about how I was exposed to entrepreneurship, it was very different for me because I come from a really low income family in the US. And so when I mentioned sometimes that I don't have a traditional rags to riches story, is because it, at home, had a single mother of five. But when I would go to Mexico, which was 4 months out of the year, I would see my thriving grandfather and my thriving uncle and my whole family of accountants, of teachers of different professions, but they all viewed my mother as wealthy. They view us as wealthy from the U.S. And so my mindset, I did not learn just how poor we were until I got older. My mindset was like, I'm full of abundance, I'm wealthy. And then I would see these people also gaining more traction, growing their wealth. Like my grandfather had many businesses across Mexico. My uncle was an accountant, but also had his accounting firm. I would see them thriving in business, and it would open my mind at a young age to what they're doing. And so just both of those really different experiences of then coming back from Mexico and realizing that sometimes we had not a lot of food, things like that, that then I wonder, like, how are we wealthy? Like, what is wealth? And so you start seeing that when you travel too. In different parts of the world, you start seeing how people gain more by doing less in their own lives, but you're thinking of a bigger option because, one, we are in the U.S., the wealthiest country still in the world, right? So it definitely changes your perspective every time you travel. And with Globetrot Pro, with my other Globetrot Pros that are building to that, we discuss things of that nature a lot in analyzing their business. Because when you're traveling, you automatically start opening other opportunities just from your imagination open up and all the other ideas that you wouldn't have had you not been in different parts of the world.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. You know, you look about, look at Starbucks, right? It got based on what the British were already doing. That is a coffee culture in Europe. It's a totally different experience. And he brought a little bit of that and he adapted it. Of course, you have to still adapt and change a little bit because you don't want to be too different, then people will be scared. But look at what they are now. They brought something new. They introduced it little by little. And they're a multi-million-dollar company now.
Because, yeah.
You know, it was different. It was something that wasn't there. And they didn't change everything. We still had coffee. We still had cups. But he added a different element of community, of coming here, don't be rushed. You know, just stay here as long as you want and just enjoy your coffee. You know, you enjoy your coffee, you smell your coffee, now you have 2 or 3 cups. Right?
Yeah, I mean, so when you're, with that example, when you're traveling, I have gone to many coffee shops, even just reading at a different location, sitting there, taking it all in, and usually, I have read over 300 self-help books. Usually, I'm reading something related to self-help. And if I'm traveling, typically it's from that country. So when I was in Dubai, for example, I read about the growth of Dubai in the last 30 years. Amazing story. If you're thinking any questionable way of growth, I am telling you the scalability is unlimited. And so with these ideas, they can't just be ideas, right? So when we're in our one-on-ones, and with Globetrot Pro, when I'm one-on-one with somebody, we're really deep. So I'm looking at financials, current activities, all their revenue, all their expenditure, because I maximize their money, their know-how, their time. With your current know-how and information that you've gained through your mentors, consultants, books, could be your mentor consultant, you need to execute on what you know. And so when you start getting ideas from other parts of the world, that fuel what you're already doing back home, the important part is to still take that full action of what you know. Doesn't have to be, as we've heard before, perfect, but more than just perfect, doesn't have to be you knowing how everything's gonna move. Know who to go to and keep focusing and moving on what you already know. And so, for example, I helped 60 entrepreneurs and self-made providers of services, mortgage, real estate, stock and insurance. And many times they feel stuck. If you look at their financials though, they are on point. So on paper, everything looks amazing, but there's something missing. They want to be globetrot professionals. They don't want to be like hustling, kind of hacking travel, kind of living on the penny, every dime, every string budget of travel. They want to be the profession and travel the world. And so when you're looking at their financials, you're like, oh yeah, they can do it, but the systems are key. And sometimes those systems and implementation have come to me in my travels. I learned other ways to do things in my travels. Going back to my Mexico when I was little, I kept thinking like about wealth, about success. How did my grandfather have all these locations? How did my uncle, who was also a politician, a different uncle, have three different businesses as well? And my rest of my family working for it, right? You start looking at that, that's very personal, but you see it all over the world. You see mom and pop shops all over the world that are run very differently from how they're run here, and your ideas just start expanding. And so even if you're financially set, and in these cases, many people are, now then it becomes a strategy to have the freedom to travel more.
Yeah, I think that's important, like especially for a startup, you need to really be aware of where your assets are. And that's not just money, because you have to become very resourceful and make that money last as much as possible. And that actually means maybe, you know, relying a little bit of family, a little bit of friends, resources in the community, and, you know, to make that, to start building that foundation. Once you get that foundation in place, you know, start outsourcing and start growing and start scaling. So that's important. Yeah.
Absolutely. And with your assets, so I always discuss assets in trade. So when I'm looking at financial statements, for example, and helping my cohorts, I have 10 cohorts a year of six. That's my one-on-one. I am moving towards a group model to help more people. But right now, when I look at their financials, very in-depth, you see clearly that people are making trades for the biggest payoff. You even see it in the stock market. And I always go back to the stock market because it's very visual and mental. When you're investing in the stock market, you're expecting, you want exponential growth. But sometimes you have a mental block with your time and your know-how. And that mental block can really mess you up because you want to still look at those as assets that you're trading for your biggest payoff. So for example, if I'm hiring for the shop, for the restaurant, if I'm hiring for the agency and having to train, but then I have both travels, I'm building more one-on-one appointments. I have to know that whatever I'm trading off, I'm saying yes to one thing and no to the other. You cannot have it all and do it all, right? You cannot. So when I'm saying, hey, I know I can train these people myself, but let me train one so that I can open up time for the rest of what I have to do. A lot of times that has to do with earning business, a client that you're really after, because those 5 minutes of that first call and then 30 minutes and then 1 hour and then one-on-one consultation have exponential growth. So when you're looking at your money, like you were talking, Nirka, most people hold on to it, or like they don't want to spend extra. They rely on other resources. It's key to look at all your assets that way, including your time and your know-how. So all your assets are time, know-how, and the tangible money.
Yes, I agree. And so What is one thing, what was the first thing that you decided to outsource in order to scale your business?
So I have the very first time, it was trial and error. I can't even tell you the very first, like, you know, team member I added. But I know that the very, very first thing I've done with every business is get to someone who's successful. So my mentor and consultant were first. Hey, tell me how to do this. You're not going to do it for me, but tell me how to do this. Always 100% was first. But I have a very specific strategy, actually, to outsourcing or taking things off your plate to open up time, which you need for travel and for business to do both. And that is, I call it like an ABC rule. So you first, you analyze everything that is gaining you revenue and income, because so each business has different revenue streams, income streams. So if I start with one, the very first thing I would do is, okay, in order for me to build this revenue stream, it's one-on-one with clients, for example, I need to build XYZ clients to meet my financial goal. To do that, I need to provide the one-on-one. Everything else goes in B or C. The B is something that's like so-so, kind of making you money. Like not making you money. No. You don't want to take that away. Kind of facilitating the actual engagement, for example. That's B. And C is something that makes you nothing at all. It has nothing to do with that activity. So the thing that I suggest is always, always prioritize your number one, which is your revenue and income stream. Anything that facilitates that, you need to, that it doesn't include you actually getting more income revenue stream, that needs to go to somebody else. And then C definitely needs to be off your plate immediately. That's how I always outsource everything. So currently, across the three businesses, I have a team of 68 W-2 actual employees that are part of the team. Excellent. And then I have many 1099, so their own contracts, and also mentors and consultants. So all of that is literally how I start scaling more. You cannot do it by just outsourcing one thing. Focus on what's your priority number one. So a better example too is with the ice cream shop. So the ice cream shop, I am not physically needed there to scoop ice cream to make more money, right? I love to talk to customers. I like to make cakes. I'm actually a great cake decorator. I'm not needed there to do those things. I'm needed to oversee the whole company, to make sure the rest of the team is trained correctly, to make sure that everybody's disciplined enough to stay on task. That's where I'm needed. So with the restaurant, I am very much at the top, zooming in, and that's how I work with that business. With the travel agency, similar thing. Like, I can get a text today on a different country in the world, hey, I want to go to wherever, and I already have a team that I know that I can call to look into different things, or I will know off that if someone else just booked it. And with Globetrot Pro, I do all the one-on-ones, so there's no time there, right? But I do have support systems to organize different tasks and activities, to organize the cohorts as they are. And so to go back to your question, Nirka, the very first thing that I outsource is anything that I was not needed in for revenue or income. And even if that was just building the know-how. So my first business coming out of the military, and I've had a lot, trust me, I've had many serial entrepreneur to the fullest. But the very first one that I was like totally focused on when I left was in the mortgage industry as a loan officer. And the very first thing I did, I wasn't even out of the military yet, is I combined all my research for my undergrad, which was in real estate business and real estate, mortgage, and franchise. But there were missing pieces. So the very first thing I did is I hired a consultant, literally, and then also read a book. It was called, at that time, Million Dollar Broker. I swear to God, the trajectory of that business from those two things would not have gone the same. That's why if your priority number one is there, everything will fall in place and the outsourcing will start coming in.
And that's a
priority. Analyze what's beating that priority number one of your revenue or income stream. B, was facilitating it, but not actually executing it. C, was not contributing at all. Focus on A, B, and C are out.
It makes sense. I have a logistic background, and that's how we prioritize inventory. A, B, C.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Was that, what was the A, though? I'm curious.
The ones that make the most income, the Excellent. Most valuable, that's your A. Your B is like, you know, it might be a low ticket item, but it sells. It makes a lot of money. Because sometimes the high price items, they make a lot of money once, but they sell very little.
I think, yeah.
So you still wanted to secure it, but you wanted to have it in different buckets. And then the C is stuff that you're filling space.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not like I just woke up one day, guys, obviously, and just like, oh, I'm ready to roll. I know how to prioritize my time. And the know-how there is, I'm talking years upon years, right? So logistics, I mean, so many companies, big companies build systems. So very similar. Like say you got into logistics as a business or when you were at working, trying to have your exit plan to start a business. That is a very key takeaway there. That know-how you gain from that, you can implement again in different businesses, just like we just did. Like you're like, hey, actually, I've done that before. This is what I'm talking about. Like sometimes when I'm working on these with these clients, they're excellent. They have the knowledge. Like you can see it on paper, like multiple six figures, multiple revenue streams, but there's something missing with how it's being facilitated because they have zero time for quality time with family or just their own trips. So very important, like what you just did, is to remind yourself of what's already in you and how it translates to business.
I think that's super important, right? We have to build the foundation the right way. Like, you know, when construction, you build a house, you don't build a foundation right, that house might be look pretty. And then, you know, it's like crumble on top of you. So
yeah.
Having the system, having the logistics, having the right people and the right assets in place, that's definitely something that needs to be paid attention to. Maybe you don't have to know everything, you can outsource it. But nowhere to go when things start going wrong. Because they will. That's part of it.
There's no way for anybody to maximize their growth without having, sometimes people say, well, what if you don't know what you're missing? Have your systems, like the very first thing, have your system of how you're going to find out, find someone who knows that already. I'm telling you, so I think the reason this stemmed, with the books that I read and knowledge that I seek often, I mean, currently I'm reading like six different books. That's just how my mind works. It could very well, right, come together differently. But if you're purposely seeking that information to open up your time, I'm telling you, the things that you will come up with now that free time will far outweigh the time that you were going to learn every aspect of that. If I never read that mortgage broker book, I would, the amount of traction, the business that I grew in those first 6 months would never have happened. That's how much I had to jump that learning curve. And I was able to do it by implementing that. So I would tell you, implement 100%, implement growing your know-how and opening up your time as early as possible by focusing on those number one, the money and revenue. And now with the revenue and income, so for example, I get this question a lot because my group is called Six Fig Globetrot Pros and Service Professionals, Entrepreneurs and Service Professionals. And we have people like Six Fig. So I'm talking about each revenue stream, each income stream. And so if you have nine, I mean, obviously do the math. So each income stream, if you know, do not cut them out. Like with logistics, you're not cutting out that big ticket item because it only sells twice. You're still prioritizing that sale. You're not saying, oh, these lower ticket items, we might need to take them off. No, because they're still selling more. So when you're prioritizing, it's not saying take off your low ticket, sell on your high ticket. Is what are you absolutely needed to oversee to scale those, and the rest have your team.
Yeah, that's definitely right. Like it might take you to sell 100,000 of those low tickets, but then you sell one high ticket and it's the same revenue that 1,000, the same effort that took you to sell that low ticket with one high ticket, you can make all the money, right? So everything has to have their own plan or action, their own procedure, depending what it is, the activity, person, or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that's important. And we definitely have to give us the title of the book and the link to it.
I'll definitely add that for sure, whenever we share the recording. We have, when you're talking about the traveling the world aspect, so that's one of the reasons that actually motivated me to open the group and like, really help people consult. One, people were coming to me. They thought that either I closed brick and mortars, I stopped doing something because they would see me traveling, or they would call me and like, oh yeah, oh, your phone's ringing, like you're out of the country. I'm like, oh, I am. Oh, well, are you still doing XYZ? The reason they would think that, they just would think there's no possible way this mother of four married is globetrotting and have businesses. And so people started asking like, hey, like, I must be doing something wrong. Like, can you help me out? Like, clearly I'm not doing anything wrong because my money's coming in, but I'm doing something wrong where I'm not free to just go do what I want to do. And I felt the urgency to do a group, to start doing more of a group model, because I didn't have a blueprint, so to speak. I knew what I learned, and then as people in these cohorts I started building to do one-on-ones with, I knew how to get them there. And there are all sorts of businesses, from franchise owners, small mom and pops, that exponential growth, though, multiple location owners, and online. So different businesses. I knew how to get them there, but I started realizing that there was not anything actually focused on that. Like, if you look up groups, they focus on helping you build a completely different business, not on your passion, on the business you already have, right? And so that's what really prompted me over the last 5 years, and this last few months hasn't been long, to open the group. But what really prompted me to help the cohorts that I had was that it's like, I can totally help you, but I wonder how come nobody really talks about prioritizing these things with the idea of being able to travel more and having systems in place to still have access to what you need while you're traveling.
That's great. I think a lot of people need that. So I don't think you're going to run out of customers anytime soon.
I hope so. I mean, people, it's like you said, I think everybody needs that to travel, but I tell you, you'd be surprised how many service providers and entrepreneurs, because service providers, the reason I include them, like the mortgage industry, I was definitely W-2, but service providers are very much entrepreneurs. You cannot run, you don't have a schedule, you're not clocking in, clocking out, you're not, none of that. So you're very much a contractor of whatever company you choose to hold your license in. So having that knowledge, I realize, obviously, they're very much an entrepreneurial spirit there. And so when I met my husband, who had 5 years my senior on our careers, he was excelling, but he never traveled. He had the idea, thought to travel. I told you before, where he was like, Vegas and Vegas, that's it. Like, he was in Arizona and would go to Vegas and back, sometimes Mexico, that's it. And he, when he met me, he couldn't believe how much I already traveled at that time. And part of it is the military too. Because the military, you learn how to do things on the move, right? So joining the military, you have certain skill sets. And then you amplify different skill sets while in. That was just like automatic for me, because it's like you're moving faster than whatever's happening. So traveling while doing it was not a big deal to me. You would think that as successful financially as some people are, that's automatic, but it truly isn't. You have to build the mindset and build the systems and merge them to get there.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of that is things you learn in the military, translate, right? The civilian, mm-hmm. for once, that's definitely something. The traveling experience to very different places, good and bad.
Yeah.
And you have to have a plan, right? You can't use, maybe you have 24 hours, but in 24 hours, you need to be there ready to go.
Oh, yeah. With 24 hours, I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I know that some people may already be aware of that division, but it gets activated within 48 hours is the idea. But the logistics and planning and services and structure is there, right? So being in that division and seeing how fast things can definitely change, like lives change very quickly, it just, again, it fueled this nomad style of, I'm ready to roll. Like, I know I can handle so many things moving right along. And a lot of us, if you're a veteran, already have it in you. And so definitely that mindset is key, because like I said, my husband, he has zero military, no interest ever in joining the military at all. But also some of my clients are not veterans or ever considered. And so when you have this mindset of that possibility already amplified by those experiences of your own travels and the military, now it's time to execute on your actual strategy. So if you're a veteran entrepreneur and you're like, no, I don't see how I can leave my brick and mortar. It's like, I guarantee you, if I look, I can see immediately how you can gain 7 to 10 hours, even a week, which if you think 520 a year, that's a lot of hours to travel, you know?
That's how much money you're going to save.
Yes.
A brick and mortar, rent, utilities, all that stuff goes away. You will have still a bill, but it's going to be a lot less.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about so some people, some entrepreneurs and service pros definitely are doing a segue exit plan into fully laptop, fully phone. But you could definitely do it both ways. So like I was telling you, even when I would read books on globetrotting, on business, I would not find anything, because they essentially were saying that I couldn't do it. I would find books that said, oh, yeah, if you're in the financial industry, you can't do that. I'm like, wait, what? Tell me one more time, I can't do that. You know, like, I'm like, all right, let's try to figure this out.
Right.
Then I would find another book like, oh, if you have a brick and mortar even. They would literally explicitly say, if you have a brick and mortar, you can't do it. I'm like, okay. Because all my businesses have been brick and mortar. So I'm like, this is really wild. Like, everything's saying, I'm like, but I already traveled. At that time, when I was figuring that out, that was in 08. At that time, I was already licensed and I had two businesses. I had a concierge business, brick and mortar, and I had a dog kennel. So three brick and mortars. And I was like, wow, like I already traveled like 4 months this year. But they're saying you can't do it. I'm like, well, you can. It is more difficult, but like you can implement. So I'm telling you, this was back in 08, right? All this planning and strategies, but it definitely, if you're online, there's no question. But if you're not, the systems are there to do it.
Yeah, you just have to pre-plan. That's the key. You have to pre-plan everything ahead of time. So you'll be ready to go in 24 hours.
That's right.
You know, you need to have a system in place. Like, yeah. You know, I don't know you, but me, I think I move about 15 times in my military career, if no more. You know, and
yeah,
a totally different,
I didn't count, but I think I'm with you. I'm like, how many times did I move?
Yeah, and that was my kids, and I always move in first, get everything settled, then I will bring them in. That will take me 2 weeks, but it's 2 weeks that will give me, you know, to have everything, a shelter for them to be at. You know, you can just go straight to the hotel and have a shelter there. But there's always a plan in place that you can do, and you can do the same with your business.
Absolutely. I mean, think about with what you're talking about. You had to have a family care plan. Obviously, your trust, living will, all that was already in place. But there's a lot to figure out. And the business is no different. You figure it out. The hardest part is having the system in place to go. And so for any entrepreneur who like you say, everybody, I'm like, well, hopefully everybody has that seed. But it takes more than just a seed, because you have to take action to fully implement that neuron, to now go down that pathway, to now take that action and have it set, right? And so there's a lot of things that you can do to start, is what I want to say. If you're like, you know, I've been stuck in my brick and mortar for months, plus COVID, I haven't really had a chance to travel. I don't even know how to do it with my business. I want to tell you, sometimes it could be that way. It depends on your know-how. It depends on what you haven't outsourced yet. Okay, there's been times when I'm building a business because I know I'm going to get sideswiped, that I put in 120 plus hours. Those months exist and existed. And so there are times it's that way, but it would only existed for me to set the system that I already knew to set, to have the trajectory of, all right, I'm ready to jump on my next airplane. I'm not trying to do this. This is not sustainable. Okay, so your business, if you feel stuck, it truly is not sustainable for your mind, your spirit, your well-being. It's not something you can keep up and be fully successful as a person.
Yeah, I mean, especially as a entrepreneur. I'm sure you went down a lot of rabbit holes and a lot of different hats, because, you know, you get attracted to the idea. And maybe you try it on and it doesn't fit. But that knowledge that you gain, because anything that, you know, using idea, it requires a learning process. And maybe that wasn't the right thing for you, but you bring that knowledge with you to the next thing. And you add it in some kind of way or shape. So it doesn't matter you work on a store all your life, you know how to speak to customers.
Yeah.
Even if you go and you open another kind of business, nothing to do with a store, you already know how to talk to customers. You can bring that experience with you, that talent, that life experience, or that job experience, and just learning how to apply it and with a little twist, a different way. So, yeah.
Definitely. And that goes back to what I was talking about with assets too, because I spent a whole week in my group talking about know-how, but I only touch on it, right? Because I'm telling you, I can go on forever on any of these topics. It's not like a bad thing. It's just like, I want to give information, you know, like just protruding out. But with the know-how specifically, which is what you're talking about there is, you got to set the time to do it. If not, you will go down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely will go down the rabbit hole. I mean, with serial entrepreneurship, you have ambitions, you have thoughts. But if you go back, even just focus on that ABC, what I was talking about, when you start focusing on just your revenue, income streams, and how you're needed there, you'll stay focused. Because then, with all the other tasks taken off, your ideas for that specific revenue stream start growing. So then you're no longer, hey, I think I need to add 5 more sources of income. Hey, what about focusing on the ones you have in front of you? You know? So it's definitely easy to do that. But, you know, again, I have this crystal gazer water in front of me. But when you have this much information from years of experience, and then your actual know-how of executing, and then people see the top, we fall privy to that. Like if we do the rabbit hole, I can do that. Focus on your know-how and building what you are honestly passionate about.
Yeah, you have to create the hobbies, the things that are fun to do, but maybe you are not, you know, you're not really, you know, what the level that you need to be to make it in a full-time goal to what athlete passion, and then you can just keep on learning and doing all those skills and keep building on it, and you're not going to get tired of doing it.
Absolutely. It's called, I get that's like the side hustle syndrome. I love the term side hustle. Don't get me wrong. Like your side hustle, but some people use it and it kind of is a crutch because you'll say, it's just my side job. It's just my side hustle. I don't actually need to focus on it. It's like, the term is more used as like a fun term, a side hustle. I like the term. But if you're having that as a mind blocker of why you should actually focus more on that, you're going to have a lot of little hobbies that actually are costing you more money. What travel is important because I've seen both sides of the spectrum, right? People who are very successful and they feel stuck. I've been talking about that. And then when you review financials, like, man, you're like, you're killing it. But they can't, they're traveling only to like a business meeting back home, whatever they need to do. But it has nothing to do with enjoying themselves. But there's the other side of the spectrum. I'm traveling all over the world, couch hopping or whatever, finding where a hostel, wherever, which is fine if that's your thing, backpacking. Some people enjoy that. Most people aren't doing that just because that's a choice they have. They're doing that because they don't have the income to be able to stay in a luxury resort or wherever they want to stay at. And so I found both sides of the spectrum where someone's like, blogging to travel, but then you look at their financials like, bro, I don't even know how you're paying for me. Like, how are you making money? Like, what, you know? And then that's just a hobby. And then I find someone who does it, but there's a fine line, and there's a really sweet spot to hit there. So that's important that you hit that, because it goes outside of travel. Some people get side hustled out and then different rabbit holes, and then they're not making money in any of them. But with travel is important because then it's a huge liability. Even if you're couch hopping or even if you're hostel backpacking, it's still a huge liability because you're not making money and you're spending money, even as little as you can, but you're still spending money. And so there's a really sweet spot to both, to having your business scale and to travel and actually enjoy the travel and the time there.
Yeah, and you have to find how it fits your style or your business. So if the thing that drive you is to travel, how are you going to make that your business? Because there's a lot of different ways to and travel, right? There's a lot of different side revenues and stuff like that. It might be blogging. It might be a TV show, right? Or
you're the example of it. You said in TV show. But the thing is, that's important because in my situation, there are certain entrepreneurs or service pros who are trying to segue out. They're trying to figure out an exit plan. Typically, they have a plan, though. Like, they're like, I think I would enjoy blogging. I think I would enjoy writing. I think whatever it is. And then we head there, right? But the focus is still to get there in a way that you're still building that revenue stream.
Mm-hmm. And it takes relationships.
You want to jump in, but you're not going to jump in. And then now it's a hobby that you're like, oh, crap, I had something good going over here. I left it. Now I'm over here like, barely travel hacking and not trying to figure it out. Like there's definitely a way to do it and merge both. You're definitely right in that. So a lot of people aren't trying to segue out, but there are some that do, and has to do with selling their businesses, how their entity's set up. So I definitely dive deep in looking into that. But with the intentions of most is that they may already be doing what they like, right? So if you're still trying to figure out what you may like, you're hitting a really key point there, because there's a lot of different ways to do it. And you don't want to go down the rabbit hole of thinking this is the way, like truly try to figure out what fits and what you're doing already to have the proper exit plan to be able to execute and flourish in your life.
And the thing with that is you also have to balance out, because I'm a creative. I like to create, and I get into that mindset. And if I had to tell a story, I had to tell a story. You know, and it's not about the money, it's not about anything. But now, okay, I told a story. Now what am I going to do with that story? Right? How are you going to monetize it? How are you going to find the opportunity? Because it's something that you needed to do. You know, what is the part like? How are you going to make it happen? Well, you know, you can just do a travel retreat. You want to go to a place, build a travel retreat, go there. That's covered. Make some money out of it. Mm-hmm. So, different things. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah, even when you travel, you start getting more ideas. Believe it or not, like that's exactly what you're going for. So if you're starting out, for instance, and you're like, hey, because Nyarka, you said every entrepreneur wants that. I guarantee you, if you start with just even a weekend, say for this weekend, if you're travel already, you know what I'm about to say. You go the weekend and shit starts falling apart, and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't think of that. So you start seeing the holes, right? But you also start learning if this is really what you truly love or if you've been stuck, okay? So if you're stuck like at your regular job, that's one thing. And usually there's an exit plan if you're retiring from a GS position, if you're retiring from the Army, military in general. So there's an exit plan there. But when you're talking about how to build income streams in something that you're passionate about, one activity I urge you to do and start, and I actually just talked about this last week, but is to do a bucket list. Bucket list, start with just your travels. First of all, your juices, when you're doing that task alone, will start going crazy. Like, oh man, yeah, I want to go to Israel. Oh yeah, man, I want to go to Fiji. Like, this is what I want to see. And next to that, a separate list, which is your business list. If you're already in business or you're doing an exit plan, you're prioritizing what you're doing there. Do not focus on the bucket list yet. That was something different. Because now you're going to be thinking, like, how can I cheat? Man, now I can't do it because of this. Just focus on what the priorities are in that business. Next is looking at your bucket list and that. If you have an exit plan, you're thinking, well, I think I'm going to write. I'm going to do art. I'm going to... some people are really into marketing, like they want to do digital marketing. They want to focus only on providing that service to people online or merging people. Whatever that may be, because I can go into like 20 different careers that could lead you to, but whatever that may be, that exit plan, that's going to be your whole third list of business priorities for that. And what you start doing is you're going to look at your bucket list. That's just domestically, internationally. Hey, I don't want you to just think grander, because people think, oh, if I make a bucket list, shoot, I'm thinking about going to Tanzania and doing X, Y. Like, that's really expensive. That's fine. But focus on domestic, international, even in the state you're in the city you're in. Like, you know, I've always wanted to see X, Y, Z. What you do there, when you start seeing all three, one, you're going to start seeing what you are actually, your trajectory of travel, how clear it is, what's going to take you to get there. You're going to start seeing that. But second, that third list starts being your exit plan. And in that exit plan, your own knowledge of what your know-how is, and I could dive deep if I see what your background is, right? But what your own know-how is, you'll start seeing how you can exit into having both the travel and the business. If you're working on an exit plan jointly with, say, getting out of a government position or another salary position that you're retiring from, that's even more concrete, because if you're retiring from somewhere, and many veterans are going to government positions for that reason, you have to maximize, that is still an income stream you have to absolutely prioritize. And I'll tell you why, because one, it's going to be residual income once you're done. But two, even if you're getting 3K, like say you're getting disability, for example, whatever that is, that's still even if it's 30 years, over $1 million. Okay, so you want to always know your overall wealth in life, where you're going to be, how you're going to sustain that. But having these three lists, you'll start having a clear exit plan. But now, if I had to think about one thing to do, like one only, is whatever you're great at, like absolutely great at. Like, for example, what I was saying, that I travel over 6 months out of the year, and I have 4 daughters, a family, 3 businesses with multiple revenue streams. I always build everything with a trajectory of traveling. I cannot wait to be on my next trip. That's just, I always have a minimum of like 4 trips planned. So my trajectory has come though from years, right? So everything has gone that route. If I had to say one thing, is I was excellent at being able to tell other people how to do it with their own business. And so focus on what you're able to do greatly and help others, and it will fall in line by itself. It could be a blog, right? But there's other things that come with blog, having to do with marketing, with having joint sponsors, different things. It could be opening a nonprofit for which you're the CEO. In that circumstance, you still have to have a lot of know-how and built-in, because even if your revenue from that, if your income is going to be over 400K, for example, you're going to need a company to actually audit you and say, this is why you're making that much money from your nonprofit, and then it's building time. So there's a lot of different ways to go about the travel part, but that comes from my perspective of helping hundreds of people that have so many businesses and now they're traveling more. You know what I mean? Like if you have a starting point, you don't know how to get there. Like, I want to travel the world, I think I need a blog. Sometimes people get that idea because they're going down the rabbit hole thinking that's the only way to do it. So don't start with, I want to do what I think looks easy and that looks like that's something I would like. Go with your actual know-how and then find someone who's doing that to do it, to execute.
Yeah. Definitely. You can copy somebody else and do what they're doing and expect the same results. You still need to add your thing and change it and make it different. You mentioned before that as a veteran entrepreneur, there's a lot of travel benefits that come that people don't know about it. Can you explain? Yeah. Can you tell us a resource where they can find more information on that?
Absolutely. I have, with my travel agency, I have a link directly. I can put that as well. Like, it's a military link for travel benefits. But I can definitely provide even more. So one of the key things I want everybody to think about, and this is even other travel agency owners, by the way, that I've helped implement this, is just your simple, if you have any veteran designation, doesn't have to be disability, any veteran designation, is there are certain companies that do veteran discounts. And that is important to know, because a lot of times you'll only see military discount and then you won't know that it's actually for veterans as well. And other times, I will tell you, NERCA, it's very specific. So sometimes it's only for like 100% disabled or retired and military. Sometimes it's only for active military, not reserves and National Guard. And so there's so many options there. But if you are, let's just say, veteran, no designation, there's still options out there. And one of the key ways to get access to that is from the bases, if you wanted to just do it on your own. But I'll provide the military link as well. Most of those, though, will just say military. So keep that in mind. And the reason I mentioned other travel agents is because just today I had a question. Someone was asking me, like, hey, as a travel agency, host agent, like if you have other travel agents and a whole company, they're like I'm trying to find, he was military, I'm trying to find even Disney World tickets. And I was like, well, if you're a veteran, because he was trying to find another, like we have a huge network, right? If you get a call from Disney, I have a huge network of who, not just Disney, So this is like more internal, right? But I was like, but if you're a veteran, you need to go on post. I have Camp Pendleton nearby, but whatever military post you're on. And then we got to side DMing, and sure enough, he's like, yeah, I retired. I'm like, dude, you're going to get the biggest discount going in there. Like, don't go to any other company or entity or even Disney. Go straight to base. So that is honestly very important to know. But even just for travel as a whole, the base is important, because as you go into San Diego, is a very big travel port. There's amazing lodging here for like less than $200 a night, less than $60 a night. On bases though, but you're thinking on base, I don't really know, like you want to stay there because it's like next to the beach, drinking, like you can drink and hang if you're a drinker. So there's a lot of benefits out there. And I'll put one of the links down and a couple tidbits for you guys for sure.
So with that situation, that current situation right now, how you get around trying to get on base? Because they're still in lockdown. Are you still going to be able, or is it like
all are on lockdown. So I know what you're saying. I don't know how it is there in Florida, but not all of them are on lockdown. They have, if you're a veteran now, like you have to register. But some states are implementing bigger. It is actually not like Army, Navy, it's full on statewide with their implementation. But no, like you're able to get on. You're definitely able to get on all the bases I've been on. I went to obviously Camp Pendleton, Miramar. You're definitely able to get on some of them. So I know what you mean there. It depends on the state for sure. Cause I have a couple actually in Colorado, and they said that their nearest base, they can't even, like, if they call, they'll mail it to them. So actually, there you go. I think I just helped you. You can call, there's always travel agency companies in the base. One of them is usually for government travel, and the other one is for all travel. You can call them, give them the info of what you're needing. Even if it's out of state, so even if you call Camp Pendleton, and they'll overnight you whatever you're looking for, or just book it for you if it's something that you're looking for that base. What I meant overnight is that I was looking for I'm thinking like lift tickets. If someone's a skier, snowboarder, I'm thinking about Disney tickets. They'll overnight them to you.
Well, that's a good resource. I'm actually getting ready to take a USA road trip. So
there you go, Nurka. Got to handle that.
Yeah. So
especially with the right now, there's so much misinformation. So not unlike like we were talking about Peru earlier, because you just went to Peru. There's so much misinformation with other countries and even other states. So I was in Chicago in January, February, and March. And in Illinois, they have like a orange, red, all the tiers, right? Not one time did they check that I had my COVID test, but it said you had to get your COVID test. Same thing with Arizona. Nobody ever checked. So you gotta be careful with that one, because you're gonna find all the information on the what they're looking for. Make sure you're vaccinated or whatever. But when you actually get there, it's like no implementation. So you're like, wait, who's implementing this information? But for me, like with my licensing, with my business, I obviously tell people, right? I'm like, look, I'm gonna shoot you straight. It says guideline is this. Is anybody going to check? No. It's up to you, but no one's actually implementing. That's what the current situation. With the travel, same thing. They could say all bases are on shutdown. But I'm like, look, you can get on Camp Pendleton as long as you're registered. So
the key is to register ahead of time, like everything I'm planning. Yes. Be prepared.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know. Might get away with it. Yeah, I know. I went to Peru and they did implement it. I had to wear a mask and a face shield the whole time. Mm-hmm. And they really were like, go, go, go. But, you know, and you had to have like the 3 days test. They didn't want the vaccine. They want the test. But I came to the U.S. Test was alone. Just wear a mask. That's it. You're good to go. Take it out, so then you get out.
Yeah, it's wild. Like right now, in fact, there's still a map that says if any of these are tier orange or above, it's recommended you don't travel. The whole country's on there. The whole country.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, you might as well just say you can't travel because the whole country's on the map. It's lit up saying you can't go there. But they're letting you, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, you can't say you can because then people get upset. Then, okay, we just got to minimize. But, you know, you still
got the tidbits for travel are, it goes back to your know-how. Like, even with the agency, like, some people are like, oh, man, I didn't even know an agency still existed. Or, like, travel agency, what? I am telling you, every portal you go to online, every single one of them is a travel agency. So even if you think you're not using one, you are using one. It's just different in what's going to happen if you have a problem with COVID, if you have the know-how, right, of someone actually knowing that country or, like, being able to help you with that country. But it's really big right now because even such things as cruising, cruising has been going on even when COVID happened. Around the world, some places were still cruising. And everyone thought, oh, no, cruising shut down. Like, no, people are still cruising. But it was, like, over 100,000, a lot less than usual from last year to this year. And then now cruising's back open and not in the U.S. So it's, like, so many mixed information that could mess you up, especially if you're a business owner because you're already juggling so much information and you're, like, I'm going to take 20 more hours to research this. But you could do that. You can research something else with that time.
I think the biggest problem is right now there's so much. You only can listen to what you want to listen. That you miss out the other side of the coin. And, you know, people are, like, very focused on one thing. It's all black. You go to the next channel, it's all white. And there's so many shades in between. That you need to be open and you need to be looking and going overseas and see what they're saying as well. Because they might give you the stuff that probably the 50% that they're giving you in the white and black.
Dude, absolutely. So I helped twice now in the last year a family closed. And everything in the U.S. was saying Italy's closed. And I'm like, but no, but going back to the implementation, but also the Italian news, because you can switch to Italian, whatever news you want, was not saying that it was closed. Some were, some weren't. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, all right, so you guys are seeing real life what, like, information we're getting, but nothing on my side is saying that you can't go there. Both times they went, nothing happened in Italy. Nobody said they had a quarantine. Nobody said nothing. Then the reason they were going, because their daughter's going to school there. So all these things to, you know, get ready, and you can't. However, I just got back from the U.S. Virgin Islands. They're 100% checking. Not only are they checking, you have to do it before. You have to do 5 days, all these things in place. So the information is readily available, though, to me, because I'm seeing it all the time, right? I'm seeing all sorts of country information all the time. So, yeah, it's definitely important, especially for your time. One of your biggest assets, your time. Like, the reason I said 20 hours is because that's the average it takes a person to schedule vacation. It's like, 20 hours is a long time. I probably would be out of business if it took me 20 hours to book one vacation for someone and help them, right? Or one group. So that know-how is really key. But right now, especially with everything moving around and different channels having different things.
Oh. That's like amazing information. yeah, I think we can talk hours because travel is one of my passions and definitely one of yours.
Oh, yeah, man. Like, yeah, that's why I had to stop myself sometimes here with these topics. I'm like, dude, just even besides the travel and business, I can go on and go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, entrepreneurship. Because it's all about creating, right? And travel is about kind of stepping out of that box that we sometimes get stuck on. And when you travel, you throwing away that box completely and you just go. And yeah. So
You do. You amplify, besides the imagination and creativity going wild, you are combining everything that makes you happy. But that is, when I say, like, people, you may think people want to travel more, but sometimes there's a mind block there because they look at it as a liability. They don't know how to actually make it a way to grow their own business. And two, when they're looking at it as a liability, they don't see, like, then should I really take that $20,000 trip? Or, like, ooh, if I take this road trip across the country, it's going to be about 20K with every stop, how long, depending on how long. But it's changing that mindset, because when you have the four pillars of your life, spirituality, wealth, health, mindset, it's feeding three of them. And that in itself builds your wealth. It's feeding your mind. It's feeding your health. It's shown over, like, there's so much science. The reason I talk about science, I have post back in biochemistry and a lot of psychology. So I seek for the knowledge, but making sure that it's real, right? And there's a lot of science that backs travel being healthy for you. And just that alone, like, if you start even thinking in that, like, when you're feeling you're stuck, no, I'm stuck in my business. If I do that, I can't do my business. If you remind your brain, oh, no, I have all this evidence that it's actually a good thing, you automatically start relaxing on the traveling and running your business at the same time. Just showing your brain the evidence so that your mind comes together with your brain, like, you're actually thinking this the wrong way. You can do that with anything in business too, by the way. Oh man, I'm not good enough. I don't think I should charge clients 6K a year, or whatever you're charging. Wait a second. You have evidence of the hundreds of people you've touched and changed, the transformations you've made. If you focus on that, you're telling your mind, nah, you're wrong right now. You're wrong right now. I have evidence to support that that's wrong. So the same thing with travel. Oh man, I don't want to take that travel. It's costing me. Well, what you're going to gain from that travel has shown it's going to benefit you in health, spirit, and mind. So if you have that evidence, you start lowering, and having those three balanced automatically feeds your wealth.
I believe it. I think every time I travel, like you know, I definitely have a story about my travel to Peru that I had to tell really soon. I'm trying to pace myself to go down that rabbit hole, because once I go, I go. But, you know, it's something that spoke to me. It's something that it feed my soul, because I think travel feed your soul. And so it's something that I feel to do, and something will come out of it. So I think that, depending on the person, it might be something that you need to do. You need to take that break, whatever that means for you, and reset. Take that chance to reset, re-energize, and really focus on what you really want to do. So, yeah.
Absolutely. The reset, it happened. It happened. Every time.
Where can they find you? You have so many amazing ideas and so many resources.
Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Where can they find you?
I'll put down, like, the group. I think that'd be the best, because some of the, like, information that I gave, honestly, like, it'd be like a week worth of that. So I'll put that, and obviously my Facebook. I'm the type of person, I don't mind if you call me, as you can tell, Nirka. So I'd be like, mm-hmm. Oh, here's my cell phone. But yeah, you want to find me, my information on globetrotting and all that, that'll be there, because there'll be videos, there'll be stuff on there to look at.
Okay.
And I'll go ahead and put that link. For the travel, the military, that's www.globetrothub.com. I'll put the link, because it'll have a specific military one for discounts. And as you guys saw, because I went, 5 minutes just from that, there's so many things out there, though. Those are, like, the ones that are explicitly stated, so you can see, and if it's something that's calling your attention. But that, we can list a lot of that when we were talking about with travel, everything. So definitely the group link I'll post down. Tagging me on this video so you can add me as a friend if you would like to, that's fine. And definitely the group.
Okay. Going to be listening. We definitely love to travel. We're a travel bunch, right? And yeah. Right now you travel, it can be so, you already can get into all the national park for free.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the discount for going in the hotels and going all the stuff. That means that you can travel for like probably half of the cost.
Yeah, absolutely.
So plan it and be ready to go in 24 hours.
For sure. Awesome, Nurka. But yeah, I'll drop that here and just let me know.
All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
You want to add any parting words? So,
I think that I want to definitely add for entrepreneurial mindset as a whole with that last piece we talked about, and that is that you already have certain pathways in your mind that you have built over years. Okay, over years. And whether it be with the travel or the business, remind the evidence you have to support why you're going to be successful. And show that evidence and you will be amazed at what you're doing there. Is your mind is used to questioning it yourself and going down that pathway. When you do that, like, hey, wait a second, I have evidence. It goes, wait, what? It stops because you're changing that trajectory of that thought. That's what I want to leave with you guys today.
That's pretty good. Well, thank you for having me. You're welcome to come and talk about any of your ventures.
Awesome. Thank you.
We barely touched on the franchises, and that in itself is a war on its own, right? But yes, you're welcome, and thank you for being here.
Thanks for joining me for this episode of Founders Time Podcast. Remember, subscribe to our newsletter at founderstime.com for more tips and tricks on how to make your podcast great. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to rate and review wherever you get your podcasts.